love to sit and look through those holy pages and read about the eternal rock of ages. See all that God has done, the battles he has won, the great prophecies unfold. In every book from Genesis to Revelation, I see his loving grace and this great salvation. Brings courage to my soul, for I know he's in control. I believe every word is true.
It's time now for the Teaching Timeless Truths radio broadcast with Pastor Roger Walton of the Faith Baptist Church of Silver Springs, Florida. So get your Bible, a pen, and your Bible study notebook as we journey through the truths of God's Word. And now with today's Timeless Truth, here's Pastor Walton.
Luke's Gospel chapter number 4. Luke's Gospel chapter number 4. Well, we're just winding our way along through the book of Luke. We started in chapter 1, and in chapter 1 we saw the reason why he wrote to put things in order. We saw the announcement of the angel to Zacharias. We saw the angel's announcement to Mary, the birth of John the Baptist, the birth of Jesus. Then we saw the fact there was some time when we don't hear from him at all after he was 12 days old when he was circumcised. And of course you remember Anna and Simeon who gave praise to him. Then they found him at 8 years old, and the doctors were like, whoa, how does he know all this? And of course Mary was like, did you not think about us? We've been worried about you. We've been looking everywhere. And he said, wish you not that I must be about my Father's business. And of course she's pondering these things in her heart. Now our Savior has reached the age of 30, and he's fixing to have a 3-year term. And as he goes through this time with the preaching tour, so to speak, it begins in chapter 3 with his baptism and preaching and the testimony where, you know, the dove descends and represents the Holy Spirit and God's voice here say, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. Immediately upon that praise and adoration, something happens. I'm going to tell you about it in chapter number 4, but before we get there, I want to read to you a verse out of 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, brethren, that are in the world. Now, as we take a look at this, first of all, we'll let you know that these are not suggestions, okay? These are commands. Be sober. That's a command. Active voice. You have to act on it. And it says, be vigilant. That means watch. And it's an imperative. Your adversary is out there. And like a roaring lion, he's walking around. That ETH on the end, walketh around. Present tense. He's constantly looking whom he can devour. The word sober has everything to do with to be sober-minded, discreet, to be able to see clearly because you need to set up a watch. And the word be vigilant has everything to do with a rising up to watch, to stop sleeping and get up and know what's going on. The devil's after you, and he's seeking whom he may devour. The word literally means to swallow, as in drinking water. I mean, devour you whole. Just like you drink a drink, straight down your history, your toast. So he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Okay, you need to resist him. It's another command. You need to put up the wall and say no. Oppose, resist, withstand all those fiery darts of the wicked. Now, when we come to chapter number 4, our Savior now has taken on flesh. He's 100% God. He's 100% man. And the devil comes to him personally. He doesn't send a demon. He himself comes. Jesus, verse 1, chapter 4, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. If you have any way to survive, any way whatsoever to make it through your life against the devil, you need to stay clean before God and filled with the Spirit of God. Because the Bible talks about in James to submit yourself unto God. Spirit-filled Christians just normally do that. That's just part of who they are. They rank under. The word submit is a military term, and it means to rank under. He's first place, and nobody else takes his place. He stays right there in first place. Then it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you submit yourself under the leadership of God, and then you are able to withstand the onslaughts of the devil. So the Lord Jesus comes in, and in verses 1 and the first part of verse 2, we just get some facts. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. Man, that's bad news, isn't it? He comes after the Savior. Don't you think you got to be on guard? Our Savior is 100% God. At the same time, he's 100% man, and he has no sin nature in him. You and I are 100% flesh and blood right now, and we do have a sin nature. And so if Jesus can be assaulted by the devil, don't you think he can assault you too? Now, we need to learn what the Savior did in order to combat the devil. And we'll see there's a pattern here in just a moment. In verse number 1 and 2, we also see the Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. He was Spirit-filled. He was Spirit-led. This is an example for you and I in our human lives here on this earth before we check out of here and get our new glorified body and have our eternity with him in heaven. We need to walk this place Spirit-filled and Spirit-led, Spirit-controlled. Now, when you think about that, people think, well, I do that. I'm okay. Are we really? My Bible says some things that are quite interesting, and one of them is in the book of Galatians. Now, it says in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a double negative. You won't. Not going to happen. But you got to walk in the Spirit. For he that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. They're at war one with another. So that you cannot do the things that you would. See, there's a conflict. We have a war. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now watch this carefully. Let's apply a little English here. Now the works of the flesh are. Works are. The subject and the verb agree that this is a plural usage. Then it says, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Since it's plural, works are. Any one of those things in that list, or anything that would be associated with that, that's not in the list, but would be associated with hatred or wrath or adultery or fornication or uncleanness. It covers broad spectrums here. One, it's plural, one. You do one, you're not filled with the Spirit. Then it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Fruit is. Singular. And there is in this offshoot of the Spirit of God 9 manifestations of you being filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, if it says fruit is, bam, a list of 9 attributes, you have to be doing all 9 to be filled with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit, you have to have victory in all nine areas. See, you might say to yourself, oh, man, I love people, and I've got joy in my life, and I'm a peaceful kind of person, but long-suffering, no, I don't have a lot of patience. I sometimes lose it, okay? Strike, you got it. That's all you needed. Gong's the whole list. It's the same thing as whosoever is guilty of just one point of the law is guilty of all of it. You do one, it's as if you've done it all. Then we go a little step further, and we see that there are things like envyings. Right? You ever get envious or jealous? Murders? Now watch this carefully. Well, no, I've never murdered anybody. But have you ever wished somebody or hated somebody that was a brother? And the Bible says in your heart you have murdered him. And that's the way God looks at it. Like he looks at adultery as whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her, even though there's been no contact. It's still, in God's eyes, adultery. So we need to be working on our lives. It's very imperative to us to be constantly checking the two lists. We only need to do one in the list above and we're in trouble. We have all nine in the second list or we're in trouble. So what do? We dig into the Word of God and we learn the things that God has taught us that will help us be stronger, mature, valid Christians. Well, when we do that, we plant our feet, we get dug into the things of God, we walk the walk, the right path, because we are pondering the path that our feet are on, and we're looking to Jesus to order our steps, and we're asking him to take us right, and we stay on the straight and narrow. So let's see what happens when we see the first problem. And the first problem is the devil comes to him after he has not had anything to eat and was afterward hungry. Now it says he was 40 days tempted of the devil. He had nothing to eat. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, there's that painting the picture of doubt, putting it in. But I will tell you that in the ifs that come out of the Greek language, there are four different types of conditions. And this one is the one that says, and I know you are. See, the devils believe in God and tremble. They're not saved, but they believe in God. It's amazing when an atheist says he doesn't believe in God, but the demons do. If thou be the Son of God, well, come on. Command these stones. Just command these stones. What's the problem? Why can't you get that straight? The devil is going to make sure that he tries to put something in front of him. And what he does is he shows him the field. He says, look, there's all kinds of stuff here. Stone, make it bread. Just fix it. Jesus says, it is written. Mark that down. It is written. It is written. It is written. And Jesus answering him said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it, if thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we see here an incredible attack on every kind of thing that there is. If you are, then go and make these things bread so you can eat. If you are, worship me. The first one, he's trying to get him to go against the will of God. The second one, he's trying to get him to change his worship of God. And we haven't got to the third one, but we're going to see in that one, he's trying to get him away from the Word of God and telling the Word of God says something it doesn't say. He's on a high mountain, and he's just kind of showing him all the kingdoms of the world. That was the supernatural part in this, in a moment of time. And let me just tell you, if you mark in your Bible, if you have a Bible study notebook, next to that, in a moment of time, write, Satan's always in a hurry. Hurry up, drew this, quick, because he wants you to think about it. He wants you to fall into the trap, and then he wants you to be caught. He wants you to be in trouble. He wants everything in a hurry. Listen, when people call me up, and that happens sometimes, where it's some number, and I don't know who they are, and they say something to the effect of, "Have I got a deal for you?" If it's too good to be true, it is. They're just things that people say, and I probably get, I don't know how many emails I get a week. It's a ridiculous number to the church's email account about all this money everybody's going to give me if I send them all this information. And I'm constantly reminding the congregation, when somebody on an email or a chat or anything like that, social media, ask anything for personal information, that is an automatic, whoa, red flag, something's wrong. And all you have to do, and let me tell you this, I have a credit card company out of North Carolina, and I've been with them for quite a long time. And I had a call to call them about my credit card. So I called them, and I was talking with the person, and they asked for my account number. And I said, "How do I know you're who you are? How do I know I got the real deal? How do I know I'm not talking to somebody?" So they actually had some things to tell me that let me know they knew a lot of things that already that would make it so. And they what they were doing is they were checking up on charges that to them didn't look right. And they wanted to make sure that I had authorized those charges. My hat's off to that, because I'm glad that someone else is looking out for me, because I won't find out till I get my statement. That's when I'm going to find out. And so they stopped them until they talked with me and could release them. I had one other time happen where we traveled through several states using the card for gas. And then we had a blowout on I-95 somewhere about 8 miles into away from actually the state of Georgia. And so we ended up having to pull over to the side of the road. And from there, we ended up calling AAA because it had flattened itself so badly that we were on just the rim. And they came and got the lug nuts off and everything. And then we put the spare thing on and drove into Savannah and bought two new tires. Well, that card got refused because we had used it in so many states. So I'm glad that they were looking out for us. Well, you got to remember that when we are going through life, someone is always looking out for us. That someone is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's convicting us. He's pricking our hearts. And we need to be very sensitive to that, because the devil will do everything he can to get you to go the wrong direction. And he says, do it in a hurry, quick. And when you make quick decisions, you usually make bad decisions. And you need to stop. People send you these emails and things. Stop. Think. It could be a scam. And some of these scam people are really getting clever at how they're doing it. You've got to be on guard. Same with your Christian life. You have to be on guard. So we have an attack against the will of God, an attack against the worship of God. But then we turn around and we go to verses 9 through 12, and we have an attack against the Word of God. This is not new that people would pervert the Word of God, but even in this, with the Savior right there, the devil perverts the Word of God. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, and you are, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, Satan says that, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So when we get to this, we see he's quoting the Old Testament. Okay, well, that sounds kind of impressive, you say. No, not really. He's perverting it. Because if you would like to write down this reference, Psalm 91, verse 11, and then get you a Bible and another Bible and open them up, and you put those two Bibles side by side, one in the temptation and one in Psalm 91 and verse 11, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Let me go back and read the other one. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up. Over here it says, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. We come back to chapter 4, and we look at what he said, and we find that it says, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Just subtle little differences to change the meaning. And then to keep thee in all thy ways. Remember that in Psalm 91? Okay. I'm not looking at this, and I see to keep thee in the story, not in all thy ways. Man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew put it this way, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, meaning every word is critical. You don't drop words because you don't like them. You don't drop words because you want them to become a doctrine you want to believe in. You take the Bible in its wordage and context, and you never lift it out for doctrine. There's lots of applications to what you read in your Bible, lots of ways you can apply it in your life, but there's only one meaning in Scripture, and that is the reason why he wrote it, and that meaning could be multifaceted, but there's one reason why it was written, and you get it in its context and you put it together, and then you don't do any damage to it. And when it says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, when Jesus said that, you can't leave that out. You can't say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto me. No, you got to go on. There's him. It's got to be through Jesus Christ. Why do they hate the name Christ so much, Jesus so much? Because that's the only way to heaven. We're narrow. Well, let's just quote Scripture. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. It's narrow. And few there be that find it. But the wide gate, the Bible says, there are going to be all kinds of people on that road. So the devil comes and misquotes the word of God. And he's trying to get him to think that the Bible, of course, this is Jesus. He's the Son of God. And the Son of God part is always going to rule over the man part. But Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Jesus combated every temptation with the word of God. And it's interesting because he combated it out of 1 John 2:15-17, where he tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those were all given there. The lust of the flesh, it was there. The lust of the eyes, it was there. The pride of life, those three, that's the areas that Satan picks because he knows we humans will fall in those particular areas. We need to be careful that we don't mess up. Now, just what should you and I be doing because the devil is so powerful and we can't match forces with him like God can? What should we be doing? It's very simple. Pray all the armor on every morning and ask God to make sure you got it on right. Now, I realize that when we take a look at this verse that we're going to take a look at, there are a whole lot of things in it, and we don't have time to go through it. That'll be another study for another time. But the word put on is a command, and it is a one-time command, meaning don't take it off. So pray every morning. You have everything ship-shape ready to go. Don't put your armor off. Put it on, leave it on, and put the whole armor. It doesn't say put parts of it on, take parts of it off, leave parts of it on. No, put on the whole armor of God, leave it on, that ye may be able, see, that you'll have the might, the capability to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles has the idea of trapping, pursuing. It has the idea of trying to trip up, the trickery, the deceitfulness, the trickery of the devil. Why is it so important? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There you go. The scripture. Number one piece. The scripture. Your loins girt about. You are tying the word of God to your life, and that is it. You're not tying it to anyone else. The word of God, Jesus, my Savior, my Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit. I'm listening to them, and I'm doing everything that they tell me to do because I am got the word of truth. And he says, you stand there, and you have on that. And then having on the breastplate of righteousness. Go out with the breastplate of righteousness, that which protects you from bad character, and have godly character doing what's right. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the gospel, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There again. So we have all this armor on. We go ready and equipped because our enemy, our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is still walking about, still seeking whom he may devour. My friend, Jesus did it with the scriptures in the Bible. If he needed to do that, we so much more do. Dig in the word, stay in the word, have devotions, memorize it, go over it, write verses that mean something to you down on a card and keep them with you. He's probably going to use that verse to help you get through something during the day. And I encourage you, just keep on keeping on. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you help us to be so close to you that they can't tell us apart. In your will, in your word, worshiping you and no one else. May we be found faithful to the very end of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This is Pastor Walton with the Faith Baptist Church of Silver Springs, Florida. Have an absolutely awesome week.
Yes, I believe every word that he said is true. I believe he'll do exactly what he said he would do. How I love his precious word. It thrills me through and through. I believe every word is true.
You have been listening to the Teaching Timeless Truths radio broadcast with Pastor Roger Walton of the Faith Baptist Church in Silver Springs, Florida. You can address all correspondence to Pastor Roger Walton, P.O. Box 1770, Silver Springs, Florida, 34489. Tune in again next week for another Timeless Truth.